Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Food is very important. And if you know how to cook it, that's so good. Like, food is a way to get to everybody's heart.
There's a new spin on home ec class at one local high school. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 19th. I'm Caitlin Finero. The LAPD made arrests today in the shooting of a 7-year-old girl Tuesday night in South Los Angeles. The girl was hit multiple times when two men in a van fired shots into her home. Reporter Esther Pomeroy is live at the news conference. Esther, are you there? What can you tell us about the arrests? Have they released any names?
They have released names. Three people have been arrested in connection with the shooting: Dante Quesada, Tony Valentine, and Felipe Carias. As opposed to previously thought, it turns out it's not gang-related. It was actually over a custody dispute. Tony Valentine, who was the driver of the van, is the estranged wife of a man who lives in the house. The girl shot wasn't her daughter. It was actually her niece. But it turns out that the police were led to the shooters when the daughter of Tony Valentine told her father that her mother had been involved in the drive-by. Caitlin, back to you.
Thanks so much, Esther. Now on to the state budget. Tired state senators are catching up on their sleep today. They finally voted this morning for a plan to close the state's budget deficit. Kim Daniels reports on how they got the one vote they've been needing.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger thanked legislators this afternoon for finally agreeing on a long-overdue state budget. The plan is aimed at closing the $42 billion deficit. It narrowly passed both legislative houses today. Democratic Assembly Speaker Karen Bass says the budget prevents the layoff of 20,000 state workers and could help California get federal money.
By passing the budget today, it puts us in line to receive the federal economic stimulus that was passed and signed by President Barack Obama a few days ago.
The state Senate approved the bill by a single vote, and the Assembly passed it hours later. The budget includes a 1 cent increase on the state sales tax and a hike in vehicle licensing fees. It also reduces education funding by nearly $15 billion over 2 years. Senate leaders compromised to win the support of GOP State Senator Abel Maldonado. Democrats agreed to several concessions to get the deal done, including a freeze on legislators' salaries during deficit years and eliminating a gas tax. They also agreed to a constitutional amendment to establish an open primary system, which will affect how voters choose congressional and legislative candidates in the state. Two other Republican state senators, Roy Ashburn and Dave Cogdill, also broke ranks and voted with Senate Democrats to approve the bill. Cogdill was ousted as minority leader because of his support of the budget. Kim Daniels, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles residents will be doing their part to close the state budget gap, whether we like it or not. LA County taxes will be bumped up to 9.75%, one of the highest in the country. It's estimated that the increase will cost LA residents an extra $260 a year. LA Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says he's worried the state will raid the area's bond money as well.
More than likely, the bonds that we passed that were supposed to go to transportation, they're going to use them again to balance their budget. The people passed, you know, state bonds for transportation, state bonds for to build schools. We had a compact, a covenant with the people of California. And with these loans, that covenant could continue to be jeopardized.
Supporters of Measure B, the Green Energy and Good Jobs Initiative, want the city to start getting more of its power from solar energy. But not everyone agrees that Measure B will do what it promises. Lata Pandya has more.
The Apollo Alliance is a coalition of businesses and environmental leaders that works to create green jobs. Its study says Measure B really would do what it promised. Bruce Corey is the founder of the Los Angeles-based Solar Integrated Technologies, one of the companies that would get funding from Measure B if it passed. Corey says that because of the sheer size of the initiative, it would create thousands of jobs in solar panel installation and maintenance.
Executing against this plan is going to be fraught with a lot of, you know, problem solving. and you need everybody involved in solving the problems to make it work. And, you know, from that standpoint, this thing has a rippling effect in the economy.
Measure B would increase the amount of solar energy being used by the Department of Water and Power. But some argue that it would divert funds towards private businesses and individuals who installed these panels on their own. Adam Browning is the executive director of the Vote Solar Initiative. He says that even with the added solar panels, energy created by the DWP would be less green than what individuals could produce.
There are a lot of businesses that are increasingly setting goals for reducing their carbon footprint and going solar on their own, I mean, as a way of meeting that goal that wouldn't necessarily be achieved to the same degree if they were continuing to buy electricity from the LEDWP, which would continue to have a rather high coal percentage to it.
Measure B will be included on the March 3rd ballot in Los Angeles. Lata Pandya, Annenberg, Radio News.
Expect a clear, chilly evening tonight with lows in the 50s, and some clouds will be moving in to give us partly cloudy skies tomorrow with a daytime high of about 71 degrees, and you can expect about the same for Saturday. Money from the economic stimulus could be helping Los Angeles put more cops on the street. Schools in South Los Angeles are mixing up the traditional structure of home economics. Emily Henry talked to some would-be chefs at Dorsey High School to see food as a way to a better future.
Being able to cook makes me feel good, makes me feel like a different person, basically, because food is very important. And if you know how to cook it, that's so good. Like, food is a way to get to everybody's heart.
Now I know if I have a guest over at my house, now I know I'm going to be able to, like, cook for them, be able to greet them, you know? It's sort of like that gives me a confidence boost, like, oh, now I can, you know, cook for my guests. Or not just guests, but, like, you know, my husband or things like that.
In the large stainless steel kitchen at Dorsey High School in South LA, 30 high school seniors are learning more than just how to cook for themselves. Their teacher, Aveta Marzette, runs her kitchen like a professional restaurant.
We do fine dining, and I want them to learn fine dining. And so, consequently, everything that comes with that, just like if they were in a regular culinary school, we participate in competitions, and we have on occasion gone to visit, like, the culinary schools so they can see what it's really like.
The aim is to prepare students for the working world by teaching them universal skills like time management, economics, and professionalism.
But it should be that even though it's high school level, they should be prepared for entry-level positions, which means you've got to still run it the same way as you would at the community college or a private institution or university. So yes, I try to do that. Doesn't always work out, but I try.
This modern spin on home ec has also taken a virtual twist. The Dorsey students have teamed up with Daphne Bradford, a multimedia educator, who has helped them launch their own online monthly cooking show. Cooking Live with Dorsey High began during the 2008 election season.
We started with the Obama campaign. We were looking, I was the campaign manager in the South LA office, and they wanted to provide food for the Obama volunteers in November at a crucial point in time to get out the vote campaign and down to the wire. We called down here, talked to Ms. Marzette, and she thought it would be a really good opportunity for them to participate in history. And what, for all of the month of November, for maybe 3 weeks or so, they cooked every day. They prepared sandwiches, they did a hot meal as the grand finale. And I said, you know what? This is the real world experience that they need to be exposed to.
The show has added an additional skill set to the repertoire of the Dorsey student chefs. And now, pupils from other schools in South LA are forfeiting their Saturdays to join the production.
So we have students from, what, Hamilton, Dorsey, and Crenshaw, and now Locke.
The result of mixing home ec with a little tech has conjured a lot of enthusiasm.
I like cooking in my kitchen, but I don't know how to cook, really. So it's fun when I'm here learning how to cook with everybody, and I get this feeling when we're in the kitchen, like, I just love everybody. So, yeah, that's why I like this class.
I like baking more than cooking. I like baking cakes, muffins, things that have to do with baking. So I don't really cook at home. I just bake.
And the best part? Enjoying the fruits of their labor.
Am I like Hell's Kitchen? Ah, see, he's being nice. I'm not as bad. But that guy is bad.
Emily Henry, Annenberg Radio News.
Now that President Obama has signed the economic stimulus package, local officials are starting to lay out details of how the money will be spent. This morning, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa told a news conference that there is money available to help fight crime. Richie Duchon reports.
Mayor Villaraigosa said today that crime in Los Angeles has gone down 7 years in a row. That's unusual during an economic downturn. But the mayor said it puts Los Angeles in a great place to compete for economic stimulus money that's available to fight crime. There is about $4 billion up for grabs in the federal stimulus for public safety, including $1 billion to keep cops on the street.
Here in LA, our police force has reached its largest size in history. Our streets are safer, and today President Obama is building on that legacy and renewing his pledge to the urban core.
Cities and counties across the country will have to compete for public safety dollars. The mayor said the public's recent commitment to law enforcement and infrastructure bodes well for Los Angeles County's slice of the stimulus pie.
We passed Measure R. We're growing our police department. We passed Measure Q. We passed Measure J. That's $50 billion worth of infrastructure investment. So we're not just going to the feds or the state with our handout. We're matching locally.
L.A. Police Chief Bill Bratton said next month the police force will reach an all-time high of more than 9,850 officers. Bratton said he hopes public safety money in the stimulus will allow him to add 1,000 more. Bratton and Villaraigosa said they will travel to Washington in March to fight for the public safety money. Asked how much of the $1 billion for new cops he would fight for, Villaraigosa said all of it. I'm Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Villaraigosa's decision to go after money for law enforcement will likely mean even more prisoners. But California's prisons are already at the breaking point. The state is facing a federal mandate to release nearly 60,000 prisoners to help deal with the overcrowding problem. And funding cuts to rehabilitation programs are leaving many former prisoners stranded without help, and they often end up right back in custody. I spoke with Margaret Dooley Samuli of the Drug Policy Alliance about prison overcrowding and what the state can do to help curb the problem. A tentative ruling has been handed down to the state of California that they must release nearly 60,000 prisoners over the next few years, and many of those are likely to be nonviolent drug offenders. So now there's a lot of concern that the state won't be able to handle such a big influx of people. And so I was just wondering if your organization is kind of preparing for that or if you expect that to be the case.
You know, the tentative ruling on early releases, that sounds scary. And it certainly suggests that the state is not managing its prisons. But the state prison system releases 10,000 people a month already. And we're talking about adding a few thousand people to that every month.
But do you agree that it's a political decision for them to be releasing the prisoners, or do you see it as a benefit for the prison system as a whole if the people that are released are those nonviolent drug offenders?
Well, we have such high turnover in our prison system. You don't have to release anybody early to significantly reduce the prison population. You just need to stop putting people back in so quickly. So what we can do is not look at release, which is scary. We can look at alternatives for technical parole violators. We can look at who we're sentencing to prison on the front end.
So what do you think the balance is between punishing people for drug crimes and treatment and prevention?
That's the debate we need to have, but we clearly are too far on the side of prison terms. What we know from research over and over and over again
is that treatment is much more effective at reducing drug use than incarceration. This is one of those classic problems of, you know, short-sighted, so-called savings that will not only increase costs not that far down the road, but it's also going to increase crime.
So if it costs less and it keeps people out of prison, then what's holding up the progress?
That's a good question. That's what I would really urge you to ask our lawmakers. But it really comes down to the politics around sentencing issues and incarceration issues in the state, which is exactly why we're in the state we're in. We're in the problems. We're in the prison overcrowding crisis we have is a result of Sacramento's inability to have a smart, informed, real conversation about what good sentencing policy is and the best way, most effective way to spend the resources we have to reduce crime and increase rehabilitation.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Margaret Dooley Samuley is the Deputy State Director of the California Drug Policy Alliance. Disneyland may be the happiest place on Earth, but for some of its 80,000 employees, it's about to become a much smaller world. Layoffs are expected at Disney's theme parks and resorts in both California and Florida. The Walt Disney Company would not say how many people would be let go. Attendance at both of the parks has dropped 5% from last year, and first quarter profits fell 32%. Now we check in with Skylar Kenny to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hey there, Skylar, what you got going on tonight?
New developments in the suspension of two running mates in USC's undergraduate presidential election. Find out if the two presidential hopefuls are still on the ticket. Plus, how will President Obama's stimulus bill affect LA residents? Details on the bill's actions towards Los Angeles public safety.
Thanks so much, Skylar. And California's budget problems might force the state to cut funding from some Enterprise Zone programs.
The economic engine must be fed with workers and people who earn money. So any programs or projects that do that are extremely important and should be supported.
Hear what Congresswoman Maxine Waters and local mayors have to say about a program that seems to be working. Adriana Venegas-Chavez has that story on our website at www.annenbergradio.org. Home sales in Los Angeles County shot up nearly 34% in January compared to January of last year. People are snapping up foreclosed homes and taking advantage of falling prices. Houses in LA County are now selling for 35% less than in 2008. And the LA Police Union announced it's suing the City Police Department and Police Commission because of confidential information posted online 2 weeks ago. A confidential report was accidentally posted online earlier this month. It included allegations of racial profiling against 248 officers who were later cleared. The officers' personal information was also briefly posted. The union is seeking more than $10,000 in damages for each officer. Well, that wraps it up for us today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Caitlin Finero. We'll be right back.